Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we are in a series called I Am. I Am, dealing with the I Am statements of Jesus. In the Gospel of John, Jesus makes seven I Am statements, and in this series, we're going to be looking at four of those statements. In John's Gospel, Jesus gives us seven different pictures of who he is. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of me, you will never hunger again. He said, I am the gate, or I am the door by which to enter. Next week, we're going to look at the time when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again. And then the final week of the series, we're going to look at the statement where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, Jesus says, you can't do anything. Today, though, we're going to look at the I Am statement found in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, if you have your Bibles, your book of instruction before leaving earth, I invite your attention once again to the Gospel of John, chapter number 10. Chapter number 10 of the Gospel of John. If you found it, we ask that you would stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Gospel of John, if you have an iPhone, an iPad, an Android, Galaxy, an Apple Watch, or whatever else technology is available to you that you can have a Bible on, we pray that you would turn to John chapter number 10. It would also be on the screen behind me, so if you want to see it in a larger font, it'll be there as well. John chapter number 10, you have it, say amen. If you're still looking, say hold up. All right, John chapter number 10. Here's what it says. Verily, truly I say to you Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more full. One version says, have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is blessed. Will you do me a favor and help me introduce this morning's sermon to your neighbor? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Let's try this again. I want you to smile. I want you to feel good about it. I'm excited about the word of God. Look at your neighbor. Neighbor. Today's sermon is how to spot a fake. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Neighbor. For real, though. Try again. Neighbor. For real, though. There you go. Today's sermon is how to spot a fake. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. How to spot a fake. Some of y'all learned some ebonics real quick, but the for real, though, that's it. I wanted to make it real. How to spot a fake. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these, your people, would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. In Jesus' name, amen. How to spot a fake. The date was September 22nd, 2007, at a place called Freiburg, Germany. Wolfgang and Helen Beltrecki, they were affluent newcomers to a town. Because they were affluent newcomers to the town, they invited friends and neighbors from all over to come to their new house and celebrate a milestone with them. Because workers had been working on the property for years and they had invested $7 million just on touch-ups for the last 19 months. As a matter of fact, they've done extensive renovations, and so they were excited about showing off their new property. They were affluent, they were new in the community, and they wanted to show everybody just how affluent they were. And so they went and invited all the other affluent people in the neighborhood. And as they came, they saw how beautiful their house was. Pastel colored tile floors, contemporary paintings and sculptures filled every room. The Beltreckis had even flown in a celebrated four-member flamenco band from Grenada to dance and sing for their 100 invited guests. Oh, y'all, it was a sight to see. At least that's how the article records it. Everybody enjoyed this tremendous occasion as they spared no cost in showing just how affluent they were. People were amazed by the Beltreckis' great art collection. It was an amazing party. It seemed as though they went to great lengths just to impress their guests. While the party was great, there was still some bit of unease amongst the guests because people kept wondering, who are they, though? How did they get so much money? Are they some rock stars or some very important people? Because we don't know who they are. And the word came back, no, they're not rock stars, but they are art collectors and art dealers. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. They have amassed a fortune over 20 years selling art. Several months later, after the Beltreckis housewoman and people had been impressed by them, a company purchased a work of art from them for $3.6 million. Company got the work of art. It was a beautiful work of art. But then a month later, the company asked for a certificate of authenticity. It didn't exist. That company hired someone to investigate the artwork, and that person who had studied the artist's original work for many years, as soon as they saw the art that the Beltrekkies sold them, they knew, hold on, wait a minute, you just spent $3.6 million for a fake. That then they began to investigate other art that they had sold for 20 years, and for 20 years they had been selling fakes. And they had amassed millions of dollars selling fakes. There are times when the enemy will go to great lengths to sneak into your life in order to steal what God has blessed you with. There are times when the enemy will say the right thing in order to creep into your life in order to steal what God has blessed you with. Yes, sir. There are times when the enemy will act like your friend in order to creep into your life and to steal what God has blessed you with. And if you're not careful, you will find yourself hurt, broke, busted, and disgusted because you couldn't spot a fake. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Few people know that the Secret Service has more to do than to protect the president. As a matter of fact, that's not even their primary job. They are under the Treasury Department, and one of their primary jobs is to spot counterfeiters. They are to look at money and to recognize the fake money. The surprising thing, though, is how they are trained to spot the fake money. They don't go through years of looking at all kind of fake money. They don't study how to make fake money. What they do is they spend a whole bunch of time with the real thing, and as soon as they touch the fake thing, they already know it's fake. Not because they studied the fake thing, it's because they studied the real thing. In the text, John teaches us how to identify the enemy even when he's in disguise. John writes his gospel to second and third generation Christians who need to know more about Jesus so they can defend themselves against the false teachings of the time. Unlike the other gospels, they start off nice and they began to tell you how Jesus was born and who his mama was and what the circumstances were. John did none of that. John got straight to the point. John did not do the niceties. John started his gospel by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." John starts off by saying, I want you to know that Jesus is fully God. That's his whole purpose in writing the gospel. And so in the beginning, he begins to tell us just who Jesus is. To further help us understand who Jesus is, he includes a story found in our text. And in this text, we learn how to spot a fake. First of all, brothers and sisters, John teaches us that if we want to learn how to spot a fake, we've got to look at how they come in. That's our first point. We've got to look at how they come in. Jesus, talking to the Pharisees, and Jesus says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his flock. Jesus uses an analogy of a shepherd and his sheep because in that area, shepherding was a popular career, so they should be able to relate to what Jesus is saying. He paints the picture of a sheep pen. It was usually a stone or brick structure. A mud brick structure, and it had like a half roof on it. It was covered just a little bit, or it would have been a cave in the hills and only have one entrance. And the pen served to protect the sheep from thieves and wild beasts. Much like your homes, when you lock your door going in and coming out. As a matter of fact, some people, you turn on your ADT system, and if you don't have one, you put the sticker on your window anyway, just to ward off would-be thieves. In the text, the thief and robber, though, have different meanings. A thief, kleptos, implies trickery. Meaning they use some crafty way to get something from you. That's a thief. A robber, though, lestis, that's the Greek term for it, lestis. A robber is somebody that means to abuse and violently plunder you. In another story, Jesus describes a man who left Jerusalem on his way down to Jericho, and he fell amongst robbers who left him for half dead after they beat him and robbed him. Jesus teaches us that the enemy sneaks into our life in order to take what God has blessed us with and then to leave us bruised and battered in the process. The Bible teaches us that the devil goes about seeking to kill and to destroy. And if you live any length of time and God has blessed you with anything, then you've got to watch who you let into your life. Everybody that's around you ain't necessarily for you. Everybody that's clapping with you isn't necessarily clapping for you. Everybody that's smiling in your face isn't necessarily your friend. Everybody standing with you ain't necessarily standing for you. Sometimes they are wolves in sheep's clothing. How did the songwriter say it? They smile in your face. All the time they want to take your place. Y'all know it. Y'all heard the same exact song. Nudge your neighbor and say, you better look at how they come in. Better look at how they come in. Then Jesus helps us even more. Jesus understands that the enemy can be so crafty, so smooth with it, that we don't catch them when they sneak in. As a matter of fact, some of us sitting in here right now know that the enemy has took some of your stuff because they snuck in when you weren't really expecting them to. And you lost money, you lost years of your life, you lost friendships because the enemy has snuck in. Jesus understands that sometimes the enemy can be so crafty, he can sneak in because he's in disguise and crimes over a wall. And so Jesus helps us a little bit more. Jesus teaches us that we don't have to just look at how they come in. We also have to listen to what they say. We've got to listen to what they say. Words of wisdom from that universal grandmother that many of us had or wish we had. Tyler Perry's Madea said it this way: when someone tells you who they are, believe them. There are times when God will allow us to hear what the enemy is saying in an effort to help us see that we are dealing with a thief and a robber. But because they came in so smooth, we think the enemy is our friend. Sometimes we've been so fooled that we hear the enemy telling us what they're going to do to us. And because we've been so convinced that they mean us well, we get caught up listening to their lies. We start lying to ourselves, telling us, no, they don't really mean to hurt us. That time, a sheep pen would have frequently held several flocks. And when the time came to go out for grazing, the shepherds would come to the sheep pen that had several flocks in it. And the shepherd had a unique call. The shepherd had a unique call so that his sheep would recognize his voice and other people's sheep would not come for him. And so the shepherd would come in early in the morning and call his sheep. You know what it's like. Let me see if I can make it a little more real for you. Some of you can remember when you were a kid and you were outside playing, having fun, and your mother called your name. As a matter of fact, if you had siblings, your mother didn't even have to call your name. She could say something like, child, and you knew when she said it that way, she was talking about you. It was just that good. It was a unique call. But then there were variations to the unique call. If your mama came out and she called your first name, but she said it kind of cool and easy, you knew I got about 7 to 9 more minutes to hang out a little bit and say goodbye to my friends because of how she said it. If she comes out and she calls your name and she says it with a sense of urgency, just calls your first name, you know I got to tell my friends bye and I got to roll. Oh, but she comes out and she calls your full government name. I don't care if you're mid-air doing a Jordan slam dunk. You want to snatch yourself out the air because you know you got to get home quick or there may be impending death for you there. There is a uniqueness to the call. The sheep knew the shepherd's call. And in verse 10, Jesus says, the sheep refuse to follow a stranger. In fact, they will run from the stranger because they don't recognize the stranger's voice. The sheep refused to follow a stranger because his voice would be unfamiliar to them. As a matter of fact, if someone tried to imitate the shepherd's tone, they would instantly detect the difference and they would run in panic. You know what it's like when you used to call somebody playing on people's phone. That's how you describe it. You were playing on somebody's phone and you would try to disguise your voice and they would catch you. It's the same kind of thing. If someone wants to call you right now trying to disguise their voice, depending on how much time you spent with them, you would catch them disguising their voice. Jesus helps us to understand that we can spot a fake by listening to what they say. I'm going to give you a horrible story. I may have told it before. When I first moved to D.C. and got my first job at the church when I was a youth and young adult pastor at Mount Carmel Baptist Church in D.C., I was full-time at the church. I enjoyed, you know, having a good time, and I'm finally full-time in ministry, love the Lord, want to help the people of God. And so it was a great time. I remember going to lunch. I walked out because I wanted to just meet the people in the city and everything. You know, I'm a country boy from Louisiana. So I began to walk around. I'm going toward Union Station in D.C., and I can remember this man stopped me and asked me for the time. Y'all, I'm full-time in ministry. I love the Lord. I want to help people. So I helped this brother with the time. Then he tells me that he had just come to America because his brother was killed in 9/11. And the government had given him some money because his brother had been killed in 9/11. And he wanted to make a donation to a church because his pastor, Bishop Desmond Tutu, taught him to give back. I said, okay, well, you know, I showed him my business card and everything. You know, I'm a preacher at a church, and so you can make a donation there. Our church is right around the corner. He said, well, no, I'm kind of in a rush with my pastor, Bishop Tutu, also taught me this. Never trust anybody with money that doesn't have at least $1,000. Okay, no problem with me. Cool. I had a little bit back then, and so I said, I can show you an ATM receipt. He said, I don't really know how the ATMs work in America. Long story short, y'all, I got in the cab with this brother. I paid for the cab. Went to the bank, took out $1,000 of my money to show him that. I wouldn't listen, just go with me. I'm young, I'm new from the country. And so I go and I take out $1,000 of my money, and here's what happens. This brother pulls out a wad of money just to show me that he's gotten some money, he wants to give a donation. Okay, cool. We put our money together and we pray about it. He begins to pray. He then gives me the money, gets back in the cab, which I had paid for. I began to go back to the church. He said, now when you get to your office is when you open it. While you're going to your office, pray the whole time. Okay. I'm praying. Y'all, I love the Lord. I just want to help God's people. This is going to be a blessing. We can do so many things with this resource. Thank God for it. I got back to my office. Y'all, I opened up this little handkerchief he gave me, and I had the Washington Post. I gave him $1,000. I saw him put his money in there. We prayed together over it. I walked the whole time praying, and I got back to my office, and the brother was so smooth with it. He crept in by asking for the time, and he was telling me, brother, I'm about to get you, but I wasn't really listening to it because I only heard what I wanted to hear, and in doing that, I lost $1,000 in the process. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, God will allow us to hear what the enemy is saying to us. We have to be so in tune to God's voice that we don't get caught up and watch the devil take what God has blessed us with. Here it is, two men. Two men were walking along a crowded city. They were on the sidewalk. Suddenly, one of the men remarked, "Listen to that lovely sound of the cricket." His friend said, man, listen, we in the city. There's cars buzzing by. Whole bunch of people. What you mean, listen to the sound of the cricket? We can't hear a cricket out here. But the other man could hear the cricket. He said, well, you know, I'm a zoologist, and so I've trained myself to hear the sounds of nature. He didn't really understand. Brother, listen, I hear the same thing that you hear. How can you hear a cricket? I hear sirens. I hear people blowing their horn. I see people walking. I don't hear a cricket. His friend said, people hear what they want to hear. He said, nah, I hear the same thing you hear. His friend said, watch this. His friend took out a quarter, threw the quarter in the air. And when the quarter hit the ground, other people turned around because they heard the quarter hit the ground. He said, you see how they responded? Because they wanted to hear that. You respond to what you want to hear. He turned his friend to understand that sometimes we miss what God is saying to us because we only hear what we want to hear. Brothers and sisters, we hear what we listen for. Are you tuned in to the voice of Jesus? Do you really seek to hear Jesus calling your name? What are you listening for? We hear what we want to hear. Knowingly or unknowingly, we all make choices what we listen to. And sometimes we're praying, God, I don't hear your voice. God, when are you going to speak to me? And the reality is we have to hush the noise around us so that we can hear God speaking to us. When I was a young preacher, they taught me this here. We hear four voices. We hear four voices. We hear our own voice telling us what we want to hear. We hear other people telling us what they want us to hear. We hear Satan tell us what he wants us to hear. And then there is the voice of God. The question is, which one are you listening to? God speaks to you every day. The question is, are you tuned in to what God is saying? If you want to spot a fake, Jesus teaches us, listen for his voice. I'm almost out of your way. Here's the third thing. Not only do we have to look at how they come in, not only do we have to listen to what they say, we've also got to watch what they do. Watch what they do. Jesus says that the enemy will run when danger arrives. In verse 12, we see that when danger comes, the sheep will be left for attack. Brothers and sisters, I don't care what the enemy does to get in. I don't care what the enemy tells you to stay in. The reality is this. Whenever danger comes, those who don't mean you well will certainly begin to disappear. Those who are fake in your life will begin to fade back. When times get hard, the fake and phony will begin to fall away. When the storms come, they will begin to disappear. When the attacks show up, they won't be there for you, even if they sneak in, even if they talk a good game. When the rubber meets the road, those who are fake will fall apart. I told you at the beginning, though, that the way you spot a fake is not by studying the fake. The way you spot a fake is by studying the real thing. I'm going to go back and I'm going to go through the same 3 points again, but I'm going to show it to you in a different way. Jesus says, if you want to spot a fake, you've got to look at how they come in. Jesus says that the thief and the robber, they sneak in. Oh, but I am the good shepherd. And because I am the good shepherd, I come in the right way. I don't have to sneak into your life. When I show up in your life, I want everybody to know that I'm here in your life. Jesus says you gotta watch how they come in. But then to make it even better, Jesus says, not only do I come in through the gate, I am the gate. I am the one that's protecting you and keeping you from the attacks of the enemy. When the enemy shows up, he's gotta try to get through me if he wants to get to you. Jesus said we got to watch how they come in. Jesus comes into our lives and he doesn't try to sneak in. He comes in openly. Then Jesus said you got to listen to what they say. I told you, brothers and sisters, at that time all the sheep would be in one pen and the shepherd would come. And the shepherd had a unique call. Not only did a shepherd have a unique call, the shepherd gave each of his sheep a name. And so the sheep would hear the shepherd's call. Not only would they hear the shepherd's call, they would hear the shepherd call their name. My brothers and my sisters, the same is true for us. When God shows up in our lives, he calls us, and he calls us by name. For some of us, it was on a Sunday morning, you heard him calling your name. Somebody else, it was on a Wednesday night, you heard him calling your name. For somebody else, you may have been sitting at a bar drunk, but that day, you heard him call your name. And we are here today because at some point in time, we heard the shepherd calling our name. We've got to be willing to listen to what they say. And then Jesus says this, you got to watch what they do. Jesus says that the hireling, the ones that don't even mean you well, when danger comes, they run and flee. But the good shepherd doesn't run and flee. As a matter of fact, the good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. And when we read the Bible, brothers and sisters, Jesus doesn't just talk about a good shepherd. Jesus doesn't just tell a good story about a good shepherd. Jesus lives a life that shows us that he is the good shepherd. Jesus says in the text, I am the good shepherd. I am the one who lays down my life for my sheep. As a matter of fact, they took your shepherd and my shepherd on a hill called Calvary, and they hung him high and stretched him wide. And for me and you, he hung his head and he died. Why? Because he is.